2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, and from verse 6 to verse 18. In other words, in this short discourse, I'm going to bring these thoughts on 2 Thessalonians to a conclusion. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, from verse 6 to verse 18. I've called this again the New Covenant Assembly. You get tired of this title. But you see, the New Covenant Ecclesia, the church as it's called today, although that word has been so distorted by Christendom, I almost want to move away from the word church now because it's so distorted. Ecclesia, the called out ones, assembly, the gathering of believers, church then. Well, this is the only body that Christ set up on earth. And it is the place where his people can have nourishment and edification and comfort and consolation and all the rest of it that they need. Because believers are in this hostile, present evil world. And the ecclesia, the gathering of God's people, the assembly, the church, the local body of Christ, is the place where they may get this warmth and comfort and strength and encouragement. And of course, we're here as a beacon and a light and a witness to this dark and evil age. So, I don't tire of it because it comes up so frequently in the New Testament. I'm only taking the passage of Scripture. Paul wrote about this. Paul wrote these words, and this is what he says. Now, this section, verse 6 to verse 18, I think, gives us another window into the New Testament church. I've spoken of the warmth, the comfort, the consolation, the pleasure, the sweetness of the mutual edification of one another, the members one of another, all of us believers sharing together and talking to each other and praying with each other and encouraging each other and instructing each other and so on. And it's a very warm and pleasant and lovely, delightful picture. But that's not all there is to New Covenant assembly life. Let me show you from this passage. Notice how the apostle starts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the authority. King Jesus. He is the king of his church. He is the head of his church. Let's get done with this Christendom idea that men run the church, that men are the boss. My people, pastors say. My people. They're not my people, they're Christ's people. My church. It's not my church, it's Christ's church. Now, of course, all the confessions say Christ is king of the church, but it's more than a name, it's reality. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the authority. We command you, brothers. Now we come to the apostolic authority. It's not advice, it's not counsel, it's not suggestions. It's apostolic command. We command you, brothers. Let me deal with the issue in a moment. Let me just come to the authority first of all. We command you, brothers, apostolic authority. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow, verse 7, I'm talking, ought to follow our example. Apostolic teaching, apostolic example. He's talking about sponging, money, living off the goodness and kindness of others and so on. Laziness. That's the issue. We'll come to that in a moment. What he's saying here, he says, look at our example. We work night and day toiling. At night time, instead of sleeping, we made sandals, tent work, leather workers, so that we could preach in the day. We could teach. We didn't just go on the Sabbath to the Jews. We worked amongst the Gentiles in the week. We preached, we conversed, we talked, not just simply standing in a pulpit, but we were laboring night and day, laboring and toiling, note the double word, even to the point of exhaustion, because we wouldn't be a burden to any of you. Now, he's not laying down here, he's very careful to say this. We did this not to give you the example in this respect, that nobody should be supported for gospel ministry, as he says elsewhere very explicitly, very clearly, those who labor in the gospel full-time should be supported financially so that they can devote themselves to this labour. That can be abused, but it's a principle that's there in Scripture. But Paul was going to a higher level here. We set you an example, a model. We gave up our right. I'm not saying that you should give up this right in your local assembly now, he says, but we gave it up because we had a higher principle in mind. We wanted to show you very clearly, by our example, what we're now going to teach you about the way you should live. And of course, here is a great principle, higher than mere just technical obedience. You get it in Romans 14 to 15, you get it in 1 Corinthians 8, 9 and 10. There are things that a believer can do, he has liberty to do, but that he willingly gives up for the sake of others. There are things he can do in his own life, he is free to do it. He knows it's all right and he can do it. But he sees the effect it might have on another believer, and for the sake of the other believer, he gives up his rights. The principle of love. And this is the way Paul is giving us the example here. So we have apostolic command, we have apostolic example, we have King Jesus reigning over the apostles, leading them by his Spirit into all truth, the apostles setting down apostolic practice, apostolic principle, laying it out in Scripture. There is the place we must go for our authority. Christ in his apostles in the Scriptures. Well, we all agree with that, don't we? Do we? The modern churches, is in writing, I'm quoting it, evangelical men and women, evangelical reformed men and women, what are they doing now? The word secular is coming up. What does secular mean? It means worldly, carnal. What the leaders are now doing is saying, they go into the universities and say, now you produce your sociological reports. Tell us how to run businesses. Tell us how to get customers. Numbers. We want numbers. We want numbers. We want size. We want bigness. How do we get the people in? How do we make things attractive to them? And all the rest of it. We're going to the secular world. I am amazed. In a recent book, I've just gone through it, and I'm going to write to deal with it, if I can. But I'm amazed at the people, reformed, evangelical, what I thought was impeccable pedigree, warmly commending this book, and commending it for its going to the secular, learning from the secular. This passage here, 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 to 18 is clear. I don't go to the secular. God has called me out of the secular. I go to Christ. How can I find Christ? In Scripture. The apostles' practice. The apostles' principles. That's where I go. What did they do? What did they tell me to do? I command you. We command you, brothers. We've laid down the example. This is a short discourse, but this, I want to develop this in writing. This needs to be said. The Ecclesia is under Christ, under the apostles' teaching, under the apostolic practice, and it's all in Scripture. And so now we come to what he says here about this local assembly. There was a problem there. We've had it hinted several times, but it's here now. Paul did this laboring night and day purposely to bring this home to the Thessalonians. Now, I've said there's a pleasantness and a warmth about the assembly life, but there's an iron fist in the velvet glove. And that's quite right. 2 Timothy 3, apostolic teaching here. What does he say? All Scripture is given, profitable. Yes, what for? Reproof, correction, instruction, training in righteousness. It's not all peaches and cream. I need discipline, my friend. As a believer, I need discipline. I need nourishment. I need correction. I need reproof. I need encouragement, but I need correction. It's for my good. I was a schoolmaster for many years. And children, of course, love freedom and license and run riots. Now, there's one thing that they hate, and that's discipline. They don't like discipline. But there's one thing that they like that they hate even more than discipline, and that's indiscipline. I'm not trying to be clever. Children think that they don't like discipline. But in fact, indiscipline is cruelty to them, and they hate it. Let me put a suggestion to you. Look back upon your school days. Which school teachers do you respect? Is it the ones who let you do what you want and run amok and couldn't control you? Or is it the ones who could discipline you, held you in check, but then showed you the principles and the teaching and the warmth of their subject and so on, and made things interesting for you? But they had discipline. I know what it is. It's always the one who disciplines you. You have no respect for those who had no discipline. Indeed, Paul says, the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 12, our fathers disciplined us, and we respected them for it. We respect discipline, and Paul gives discipline here. The problem was, some at Thessalonica were idle. It may have been connected with prophetical matters. It may be connected for other reasons. And of course, they were saying, well, we're doing spiritual things, you see. Paul says, rubbish. If a man won't work, he says, he won't eat. Verse 10. None of this charity in the Christian life, love in the Christian life, is not this sweet sentimental gush you get on the television or in the world. It's not this nonsense so-called love. If a man won't work, he won't eat. Now, he doesn't say if a man can't work. He says if a man won't work, will not work, he shall not eat. Ah, but we're being spiritual. We're going around conversing. Look at verse 11. We hear that some of you are idle. They're not busy. Oh, they say they're busy. Oh, no, they're busy bodies. Now, Paul loves wordplay, and he's got one here. Busy, busy body. But he's making not a joke. He's not just being clever. He's giving a principle here. You see people doing work, and you think they're working hard. They're on their computer. But what are they watching? What are they doing on their computer? You can have conversation, but is it spiritual conversation? I was talking to an old friend even this week, and she was talking about her daughter who runs a mothers and toddlers group. I'm not saying this in favor of mothers and toddlers. In fact, I'm against it, so if you want my opinion. But let me just take this as an illustration. Her daughter, in a big evangelical church, runs a mothers and toddlers group. And several of the believing young ladies, young mothers, bring their children. But they don't help. They just sit there and talk. Ah, that's lovely. That's what they've come for, to talk, to witness to the unbelievers. Ah, but as my friend said, they're talking, they're chatting. But the implication is, what are they chatting about? Recipes, food, holidays, doctor's appointments, what the children are doing. Are they talking about Christ? They're there, and that was the whole object of it. I'm not in favor of it myself, but the principle of what they're doing, the way they're doing it. But allowing that to happen for the moment, even when they've got it themselves, they're chatting, but what are they chatting about? They're busy. No, they're busy bodies. And gossip is not unknown in such circles. No. Such people we command and urge. Now it is again the apostolic command and the apostolic urging. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the authority again. Settle down, earn the bread they eat. You can see the principle he's applying here. Carry on, brothers in the local assembly. Carry on doing what is right, nourishing each other and holding out a hand, as it were. Lifting up the light, the beacon, lifting up Christ to the pagans. But if anybody does not obey our instructions in this letter, there's the authority again. Take special note of him. And we have, each of us, it's not just the pastor has to do it, he doesn't exist in the New Testament anyway. He didn't exist here. It's all of us. We must not associate with one who will not obey the apostolic teaching. But don't regard him as an enemy. But bring him to shame. Show him love, yes, but show him this firmness. Show him this definiteness, this discipline. Unbeliever, you can do what you like, can't you? You can live how you like, and you think it's wonderful. No, it's terrible for you. I need this discipline. I need this love. I need this affection. I need this nurture. I need this care for me, Sometimes it's a firm hand. Sometimes it's a warm hand. Whatever it might be, I need this kind of atmosphere. There's only one body on earth that's got it, and that's the Ecclesia of Jesus Christ. Islam hasn't got it. Christendom hasn't got it. I'm not speaking up for Christendom. I haven't a second for it. I haven't anything to say in favor of it. It's a curse, Christendom. I'm speaking of the Ecclesia, the assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Scripture. I wish you could see it more often in reality around, because it's a very precious society, a very sweet society, a very warm, a very firm society. That's what we have here. And then, of course, this is a very brief discourse, or meant to be, verses 16 and 17. Is that just a make weight to throw away? Now may the grace of our Lord of peace himself, and so on. Is that all just make weight? No, my friend. How can we run such an assembly? How can we run such an ecclesia? How can we be converted? How can we come into all this? Well, it's all by the Lord Jesus, isn't it? The Lord of peace himself, the Lord be with you all. The Lord Jesus Christ. He starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. He finishes with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It needs the Lord of peace to give us peace. Out there in the world, my friend, you can see it in public. The wars in Syria and the Middle East and throughout the world. In families, in clubs, in societies, in university common rooms, in wherever it is, there's hatred and cliques and factions and little groups and there's conspiracies and jealousy and rancor in the Church of Jesus Christ, the assemblies of Jesus Christ, in the ecclesia, in the body of Christ. There should be peace and concord. The Lord be with all of you, not just the pastor or the elders, all of you, because you're all ministers of Christ, you're all priests of the new covenant, you're all engaged in this mutual discipline, this mutual nourishment, this mutual love and affection. Paul says, as you've got my signature here, you see, he dictated his letters, he preached. These are preachings, these are not just writings in a study. He just penned his signature as an authenticating mark. It's thought he had trouble with his eyes, but he would dictate, he would speak his discourses, and that's what his letters make. And I'm glad to say that people say that they can hear my voice in my books. And this is how I write. I write as though I speak, and I want to speak to people and communicate to people. This is what Paul did. This is how I write, he says. Not just academic lecturing treatises, but communicating. As though I were in the room with you, he says, I'm speaking to you. And he finishes with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not the Lord Jesus Christ only, but our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all of you, all of you. He opens this section in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He closes with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord Jesus Christ. And we are all one in him, my brother and sister. He is in you, and you are in him, and same for me. Let us see one another as we see Christ. Let us see Christ in each other, and love each other, and share with each other, and discipline each other, and care for each other in the way that this New Testament assembly should be run. Unbeliever, what you are missing. For your own personal individual salvation, without Christ you will be damned. But what you're missing too in this life, because you have your troubles and sorrows and difficulties, you're too in your hostile community. Where do you go? You see, we go to Christ, and Christ helps us with each other who are in Christ to care for each other. I would warmly invite you, with all the power I have, command you, invite you, plead with you, call you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and enter into him and enter into this kind of spiritual fellowship. The pleasures are indescribable. What heaven will be like, eternal glory, the new heavens and the new earth, is beyond my comprehension. Christ is all. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He opens this passage and he closes it. There's discipline, there's firmness, but there's warmth, there's love, and it's all to the glory of God, surely. May the Lord of peace himself give us peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of us.